Okay, so before we get to the text for today, I just want to remind us of some things that I think we all have in common, no matter what our lived experiences are and no matter what our circumstances are. We all long to feel protected and free from worry and anxiety. We yearn to be accepted without condition. We want to be valued as a human being and to be loved without condition. And we want to know, without a doubt, that we belong to a larger community, fully and wholly accepted for who we are. All of us have those things in common. In other words, no matter where we live or how we live, we all have this desire to be loved and provided for and protected. In other words, we need this relationship with God and each other, and I would go so far as to say with all of creation, so that we become this community of sacrificial love. So over the past few weeks, we have been talking about Jesus' post-resurrection appearances to the disciples. So, you know, at Easter, Jesus is raised from the dead, and we talked about these post-resurrection appearances. And so this is when the lectionary is a bit confusing. Now we're going to go backwards. So we're going back in time, and we're going to talk about Jesus is telling us what the nature of God's work is in the world. Today is known as Good Shepherd Sunday. So you may have noticed there's lots of sheep and shepherd language. The author of John uses different Old Testament metaphors for God, but today, as I said in the children's sermon, the metaphor is about the Good Shepherd. The shepherd is an image that John's hearers would have been very familiar with, and he expands this metaphor by including the hired hand as a way of comparing and contrasting the good shepherd with the bad shepherd. So we know the good shepherd is willing to lay down their life for the flock. And their role is to lead the sheep, to provide protection and sustenance, to offer freedom from fear and anxiety. Sounds a little like that list we talked about at the beginning, doesn't it? Right? A good shepherd protects, provides, and guides no matter the personal cost. Jesus is the good shepherd whose sole purpose is to ensure the safety of the flock, and he's willing to lay down his life that abundant life would be possible for his flock. Unlike those who steal and kill and destroy, Jesus is the trustworthy shepherd that is offering us abundant life. Now, hired hands may not just like intentionally be out to destroy the sheep, but they are not committed enough to risk their lives for the sake of the flock. They are pretenders, in it for what benefits them, rather than out of genuine care. They have this legitimate and important job as a shepherd to care for the sheep, but they are motivated by the self-interest, and they have no regard or very little regard for those who they are entrusted to care for. John is making the point that it is to follow the hired hand who is pretending to be a good shepherd. In our world today, there are many examples of modern day hired hands, both individuals and institutions that have important, legitimate roles who seem to have little or no regard for those they are called to serve. So there are too many to list. So today we are going to talk about three modern day hired hands. One is social media. Two is marketing, consumerism, and three is the polarization of our political landscape. So I'm going to begin with social media. Now, on the surface, social media seems like it serves this very important role of connecting with people, right? We stay in touch with our friends and our family. We meet new people. We find folks who have things in common with us. And so that's the premise. That's what we're told, that if you use this particular social media, it is going to connect you with people. It's going to keep you in touch with people. But the reality is that at the end of the day, the dominant value in social media corporations has nothing to do with altruism. It's monetary. Their profits are tied completely to the time that we spend scrolling on their sites. Right? And they have all these algorithms that are designed to identify what our tendencies are, and they just keep pushing things to us that they know are going to grab our attention. And we have this necessity for likes or followers, whether it's Facebook or TikTok. They want followers. They want positive affirmation. And so this content leads us, the content provider, with this need for some kind of external affirmation. And it results in kind of a self-absorbed insecurity. And honestly, authentic relationships do not thrive in this environment. It becomes a competition, right? Then we have marketing. Now, again, marketing has an important function in the economy, but it has shifted away from sharing or informing, and it's more about creating the sense of inadequacy that drives us to address our real needs through consumption and consumerism, known as retail therapy, right? I heard that a lot during COVID. I need a little retail therapy. I'm going to go on Amazon and have them send me a box. But if you consider the marketing that saturates our daily lives, it tends to create a sense of lack that drives this mindless consumption. The message boils down to, no matter the product, if you want to be happier, more successful, healthier, you name the need or desire, there is someone for a fee that will claim to give you any of these things and all of these things just for a few dollars. It's just not that expensive. They'll even often break it down into some kind of a payment plan. More often than not, your money buys you this plethora of empty promises. Then finally, we're going to move on to polarization. Now, I don't think that anyone could argue with the statement that we are living in a time of polarized, hyper-partisan politics that just create deeper and deeper divisions in our nation, in our communities, even in our families. So in recent years, rather than working for the common good, the emphasis is increasingly on inviting us to define ourselves in terms of who or what we are absolutely against, rather than what and who we are for. We are against. What are we saying no to? So this sort of atmosphere, it fosters a very negative political identity of whoever we're opposed to, and it easily breaks down and it begins to be hateful in its speech, and it leads to violence. So the function and purpose of politics to serve all people breaks down, and the few in power receive the benefit of something that is supposed to benefit everyone. So when we talk about these three hired hands, marketing, social media, and polarization, they all have in common this emphasis of ourselves. Ourselves above all else. It gives us false narratives of scarcity, insecurity, and fear. The messaging is very consistent and just perpetuates this idea that you are not enough, you do not have enough, and you should be afraid. Image is everything. Status is what you go for. You are what you own. This list goes on and on and on, right? He who dies with the most toys wins. There's all that kind of stuff. But beneath all of these various images, there's this single consistent demand. Justify yourself. Justify your worth. Justify who you are as a person. Justify your very existence. The significance of life-giving community is an important theme in the Gospel of John. And in this passage, the shepherd seeks to bring the sheep together as one community, forming a flock and protecting it from scattering. Jesus portrays the intention for an indestructible relationship between the sheep and the shepherd, between the people and Jesus, and the people and Jesus and God. It's like the three hired hands, they are eager to have sheep. They're eager to have sheep, or in the case of Facebook followers, but rather than gather into a flock, they stand ready to divide. They abandon them in a heartbeat, often in the name of the bottom line. And in contrast, Jesus offers himself as the good shepherd. The proof of his fidelity is this: he is willing to lay down his life on behalf of the sheep, on behalf of us. Jesus tells us and shows us that sacrificial love is his purpose, the source of his power, and his enduring example for his followers. We celebrate Easter as this triumph of sacrificial love that's embodied by the Son of God and validated by God the Father in the resurrection. We think of it as something that happened a long time ago, and that first Easter did happen, but it isn't a past tense sort of thing. It's not a once and done reality. It's an ongoing reality as God the Spirit continues to be at work, drawing us into lives oriented to, permeated by, and sustained through this same sacrificial love. Jesus invites us where we receive Jesus' presence and protection. The shepherd calls our name and declares that we are God's beloved children. We hear a different message than the one that the hired hands of the world are offering. We hear a message that grounds our distinct life-giving identity as God's beloved in God's sacrificial love. You are enough. You have more than enough for yourself and plenty to share. You are the beloved of God. You need not fear for the good shepherd who laid down his life, took it back up again, and is with you and is for you. We hear and recognize Jesus' call, the good shepherd's call. We answer his voice, and we welcome those other sheep that Jesus is seeking to bring into the fold, into the flock. And when we do that, we are living more fully into the hopes and dreams that God has of God's children, for me and for everyone. And then we are sent out to share this message of God's self-giving, sacrificial love for all the world. We are God's beloved children who are offered this sacrificial love without condition. We are enough right here, right now. Spread the news. Share the good news. Thanks be to God.